I heard a little girl talking earlier. This is earlier in the week, and she said, "Grandma, we're not going to the Rise and Shine thing, are we? It's too early." I said, "We missed Mary this morning, but I want to say thank you guys for coming out. I really do appreciate it." I shared this story. I want to share a little story with you as we start. I shared this last year, but I like it because it's from a little guy, a little six-year-old guy who was trying to do his best at the Easter show. You know, they have a little Easter pageant. And his name is Brian, and I loved what he said, so let me share it for you today. Little Brian, he's supposed to recite a key line for the Easter program, and he was supposed to recite the line that the angel delivered at the tomb. It's a pretty crucial, important line. And unfortunately, as he got up, he couldn't quite remember it. The teacher whispered in his ear what he's supposed to say. He grabbed the microphone and confidently shouted, "He is not here. He's in prison." Now, had Brian said that a day before, he'd be right. It kind of felt that way. Christ was locked up in prison, in the prison of the tomb. But we know that's not the case. But today's Easter, we celebrate this great resurrection of Christ. But if you saw my sermon title, "As the Rains Begin to Come," and it sounds nice, though, "As the Rains Begin to Come," my sermon is "Christ is Risen with a question mark." Maybe that threw some of you off. What are you talking about? Is he not sure? He's been a pastor here for 38 years, and he doesn't know if Christ is risen or not? Well, you know what? A lot of people don't believe Christ is risen, even though there's a lot of proof for it. So we want to talk about that. What would happen? What would change in this world? What would change in your heart and your life if Christ hadn't risen? We're going to share some scripture. Before we do, let me just pray for us. Father God, thank you for the sound of the rain. The rain brings life, new life. And this morning is a day that we received new life and life everlasting because of what Christ did. But Lord, sometimes we have friends, and there are some of us even here today who question the fact, who is Jesus and what did he do and did he really raise from the dead? So I pray you'll open our hearts, you'll open our minds to listen and to hear. Even though we may have our doubts, may we listen and hear your word to us and the truth of your word this morning. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So there are folks who don't believe Christ rose. You know that. It's too crazy. How could someone rise from the dead? It's impossible. Consider the resurrection of a human being after the death. It's not going to happen. Your heart stops. Doctors can pop you back up now, but that didn't happen. Trust me, there was no one of those things hanging on the tomb that you could pop your heart back up. He had died. Jesus had died, and they put him in the tomb. They rolled the stone in front of the tomb. He was gone. Others just say that the whole thing is irrelevant. What's it matter to me? If he rose, if he didn't rise, it doesn't affect me. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live life good. I'm going to do my thing and just take a shot at what happens at the end. Well, that's kind of a gamble. I always say, you know, if you don't trust in Christ and you're right, you didn't lose anything. But if you don't trust in Christ and you're wrong, that he did come and he did raise for you, you've lost everything. That's not a gamble I want to take. But anyway, there are folks that are there. They're building their life and their career, and they're not worried about it. So that's why I want to talk about this morning, because indeed there are those who don't believe, but there are many facts apart from the Bible that show us that Christ indeed rose from the dead. But what if the scripture in Luke 24 read like this? Listen to this. If this were the scripture, how would this change your life and change who you are? Luke 24. On the first day of the week at early dawn, Mary Magdalene went to the garden tomb, taking spices that she'd prepared to anoint the body of Jesus. When she arrived, she found the stone blocking the entrance to the tomb and asked the soldiers who were guarding it if they would help her roll the stone away that she and her friends could anoint the body of Jesus. The guards rolled the stone away, and Mary and the other women that were with her entered the darkened tomb and found the dead body of Jesus wrapped in linen cloths. The women carefully anointed and prepared the body of Jesus, and when they had finished, they silently left the tomb, their hearts filled with grief over the loss of their friend and their teacher. They went to give the report to the disciples who were hiding in town for fear that they might be killed as well. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women told all of these things to Jesus' followers. The disciples began to talk among themselves and to wonder what they might do now that Jesus was gone. Perhaps they could go back to their fishing boats. Thomas cried out that maybe they should just all remain in hiding, as there were many who wanted to find them and to kill them, just as they had killed Jesus. Peter was frightened, and in a panic he rose and ran to the tomb, and when he arrived at the tomb, he stooped down to look inside, and he saw the body of Jesus lying on the stone slab. He began to weep. His life would never be the same. All that he'd believed in and worked for the past 3 years of his life was now lying lifeless in a darkened tomb. The teacher was dead, and the name of Jesus was not spoken again in Jerusalem. Can you imagine if that's how the scripture read? What would it do? What would it change If Jesus hadn't raised from the dead, how would that change the world? Think about the Church of Jesus Christ, and what it's done. Think about almost every hospital and every college that was founded. It was founded on the name of Jesus Christ. Certainly it's changed over the years. We've managed to do that. But it was founded because of Christ. Think of all the poor who have been helped around the world. The refugees who have been reached out to because we celebrate a risen Savior. None of that would have happened. No Bible, no God's word to us. Everything would have changed. Paul makes his point clear in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says this: if Jesus had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. Paul goes on to say, if there's no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is useless and we're guilty in our sins. We are still guilty in our sins. We have not been forgiven. If our hope in Christ is only for this life, then we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Paul says, if Christ is not raised, he pities those who trusted in the rabbi. But he says later, and we'll read the scripture in a bit, but in fact, he has been raised. He is the first of the great harvest of all who died. Well, that's a good assurance, but if there had been no resurrection, then we are to be pitied. Why should we be pitied? Well, because we're believing a lie. We believed a lie all this time. That's pretty terrible when you've lived your life for something that isn't true. And we'll experience some great disappointment. Because when we die, we're dead. There's nothing else. Believers are expecting a super spiritual power of God to help them through the trials of this life, but with no resurrection, there's not a God that loves us. There's not a God that gives us his power to help us. If there's no resurrection, no hope for salvation, eternal life, then the believer is suffering for nothing. We have a missionary, Andrew Brunson, who's in Turkey. He's locked up. He preached for 20 years in the country of Turkey. He's locked up for some false accusations that were made against him because he was a believer in Jesus Christ. He believed in the resurrection. That's the only reason he's in jail. What a wasted time that would be if Christ had not raised from the dead, that he gave 20 years of his life and ended up in jail for something that wasn't true. Because the true believer denies himself, giving and sacrificing all he is and all he has in order to minister to a desperate world. We minister to the city of St. Louis, to a lot of ministries there. We minister around the world. I just got back from Albania, an atheistic country that was under communism for so long. We ministered in the one evangelical church in this town of about 75, 80,000 people. And there are people that are excited, young people. The average age of that church is probably 25. And they're not wasting their lives. They're not wasting their time because they know the truth. N.T. Wright says this: there are lots and lots of failed revolutionaries in Jesus' day, often ending up on Roman crosses. And Jesus would have just been another one of that bunch if he wasn't who he said he was. Our preaching is meaningless. Our faith is futile. We're liars. We're still in our sins. Our loved ones have died and perished for eternity. And we are miserable men and women. But most of all, we have no hope. We have no hope for eternity. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, there's no hope for us. We can live the best lives we want to live. We can do some good things for people. But if Christ didn't come, then the gospel's not true. Okay, so it's been depressing so far, right? Okay, let's brighten it up. The rain has stopped. The sun is rising. That is our cue to get into something true. And the truth is, Christ is risen. Indeed, he has. Amen. So let me read Luke 24 once more, as it was written. On the first day of the week at the early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they'd prepared. And they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus, and they were perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And they were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. That the Son of Man must be delivered He's not here. He's risen. Remember how we told you back in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered the words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the eleven and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words still seemed to be an idle tale to them. They didn't believe them. Seriously, guys. The women have witnessed it. They've told you, but you don't believe them. So Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying there by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. It's a very different story than what we read before. The linen cloths were still there, but the stone was rolled away and there was no body of Jesus. Trust me, no one snatched it. Those guards, well, they probably got axed anyway, but they would have been in trouble. And the disciples were talking about these things, and Jesus himself appeared among them and said, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. You know who precipitated that, of course, Thomas. Poor guy, doubting Thomas. Wouldn't you hate to have that in front of your name all your life? But it's doubting Thomas. But you know, the guy was like us. He had the guts to ask, "Hey, man, I'm not sure. Can I check it out?" "Sure you can." While they were still in disbelief for joy, marveling, what did Jesus say to them? Deep, deep words. "Do you guys have anything to eat?" I mean, the guy had been in the tomb for 3 days. He's hungry. This is the man part of God, okay? 100% man, 100% God. He's hungry, so he says, "Guys, do you have anything to eat?" It's probably a little bit of a paraphrase, but he basically said, I guess the King James, "Haveth you anything to eateth?" I don't know. And so, Thomas wants to touch him, and he says, "Great, but pass the fish while you're at it." So Jesus is back, and the guys are now getting it. He's eating with them. He's talking with them. This is only 11, 12, maybe 15, 20 people total with the women and the friends that are there. But they see the risen Christ in front of them. Amen. That would be enough for me. But for some people, that's not enough. So you're going to hear that there's more proof. They're looking for more proof of a resurrected Savior. Did you know so many people saw Jesus that if we brought up the witnesses for Christ to share a 15-minute testimony, they'd be here all day today, all day tomorrow, all day Wednesday, just 15 minutes each from each person, all day Thursday and all day Friday, just telling you that they saw the risen Christ. That's more proof than we have for George Washington. Really. But, you know, this is Jesus and all these people who saw him. By the way, if you want to see some proof, there's a great movie that just came out. And it's called A Case for Christ, The Case for Christ. You probably heard about it. And Sharon and I met Lee Strobel some years ago. He was a atheistic journalist for the Chicago Tribune who said there is no Christ, there is no resurrection. And the head of the Chicago Tribune said, "If that's the case, prove it." He said, "No problem, man." Well, unfortunately, during this trek, his wife started going to a church and came to know Christ, and he watched her be baptized and saw the changes in her life. And he said, "Oh, my goodness, I've got to save her from this cult that she's joined." So Strobel went out to disprove Jesus Christ, and he is an investigative, award-winning journalist, and he went and looked at the records, not just the Bible. Everybody said, "Oh, the Bible's the Bible. That doesn't count." Well, it does, but if it doesn't, as Strobel thought, then go look at the other records of all the others who wrote about this Galilean who they saw dead and who they saw alive. Strobel spent several months, maybe even years. I didn't see the movie yet. I did read the book. It's been a while, but I think he gave it to us, Sharon. I hope I read it. And but the story ends. Guess how it ends? He said, "Man, I was wrong. My wife found Christ because of her heart, her emotions, her faith." A lot of people come to Christ because they're moved emotionally. That's great. He said, "It had nothing to do with emotion for me. I'm an investigative journalist. I investigated Christ's resurrection, and guess what I found out? I found more proof for it being real than anybody who could disprove it. 2,000 plus years. Folks, there's bound to have been somebody in that time who could say, I got proof it didn't happen. Guess what? The tomb's still empty. They have no proof. Jesus is risen. He's alive. So Paul reminds us in Corinthians 15, Christ is risen. He is not dead. He's not lying as a decayed corpse in the grave, and we're not living in hopeless misery, as he pointed out earlier. In fact, the opposite is true. We have the greatest hope in the world because of the hope we have in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen, and therefore we shall arise. He is the first fruit of the guarantee, the seal, the very assurance of our resurrection. Because Christ rose from the dead, we will rise with him with eternal bodies. I read something about people talking about, well, our body's going to the ground. Somebody actually asked me, can I be cremated? You know what? God doesn't need your earthly body. You're going to be recreated eternally. I'm looking forward to it. I've had to live with this body for many, many years. I'm looking forward, whatever it's going to be like, walking through walls, whatever, but I know it's going to be good. And somebody asked me yesterday, do you think I can sing in heaven? I said, you know, I imagine all of us will be able to sing, but if you can't, Jesus will let you know. It's not a problem. Just leave it. It's going to be, to picture a glorified body that can do anything, be anything. For some of us who've had cancer, some of us who struggle with sickness, some of us who've lost loved ones, if they are believers and followers of Christ, the hope they have is not just eternal life with Christ, but eternal life in a glorified body that Revelation tells us no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. Jesus overcame all of that, the sorrow, the death, the pain, when he got up that Sunday morning. I love the sermon. It's Friday, because on Good Friday, as we celebrate, that's a sad day. It's called good. It was good for us. But Christ died. But I love Tony Campolo tells the story of an African-American pastor who preaches that sermon. It's Friday, and Jesus lays in the tomb, but Sunday's coming. I just love that. And we've got to remember that in our own lives, whatever we're going through. Because of the resurrection, our faith is not futile, it's fruitful. And the good news, sometimes God is silent. Like that Saturday in the grave, God might be silent. Maybe there's things going on in your life, and you've cried out to God, and he seems to be silent. Maybe you're struggling with a job, with a marriage, with children, whatever it is, and you're saying, God is silent. Let me tell you, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. If you trust in Christ, if you hold on to the promises that he gives you in the gospel, Sunday's coming. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. We can praise him for that. They're new every morning because Christ is alive. Because of the resurrection, we're no longer lost in our sins. We're not trapped in the sins because of Christ's righteousness. We have hope. We have forgiveness. Because of the resurrection, we know he's coming again for us. That's the promise. He said, I'll be back. He was the first one who said that, and he meant it. Death is destroyed, sin is forgiven, hope is affirmed, the dead will be raised, and all things will be made new. Creation will be liberated. Amen. And Jesus will return. So if you're feeling kind of hopeless and sad and have a heavy heart this morning, just remember that. The resurrection conquered all of these things. It conquered death, and it brought us life everlasting. Max Lucado in his book, a great book if you haven't read it, 6 hours, one Friday. He tells of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of a jungle. And he was trying to share with them the concept of Jesus and who he was. There's always a redemptive analogy. I don't know if you know that. In every people group in the world, there's a redemptive analogy that speaks of Christ. Did you know 5,000 years ago the Chinese wrote the symbol for salvation or redemption? And guess what the little symbol is? Lamb over me. Interesting, isn't it? Because if you look at what true salvation is about, it's a lamb over us. In other tribes, there's a circle that you can go into during a battle. And if you go into that circle, they can't hurt you there. And so the missionaries would say, that circle is what Jesus does. And of course, the greatest is the peace child. The two tribes that were warring, and the only way they could make peace is the one chief gave his child to the other chief to raise. And that made peace between the tribes. God gave his child to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, he died, and he lived. So Max is talking to this tribe of people, this missionary is. They lived near a large river, and they were in need of medical attention. People were dying from some diseases that had come into that area. But the hospital, it wasn't too far away, but you had to go across this river, and they believed that the river was possessed by demons, and so they would not swim across the river. They were willing to die because they wouldn't go across the river. So he explained to them, the missionary explained to them, if you cross the river, you'll be unharmed. They weren't impressed. He went down to the bank of the river, put his hand in it. They were not impressed. Until he jumped into the water and swam to the other side. And when he got to the other side and held his hands up, they jumped in and followed him. Jesus has jumped in the river, and he wants us to follow him. We're suffering with diseases that we don't know how to get rid of, and yet we're too afraid to jump in sometimes. That's going to hurt me. It's going to change my lifestyle. I'm going to have to give up some things. I might even die. But Jesus says, if you want to live, and if you want to live eternally, jump in the river. Finally, this morning, let me just share a few words that Jesus gave himself about the resurrection. Yeah, he talked about resurrection before he rose, even. You might remember the story. He had some really good friends. Mary and Martha, and they said, Jesus, Lazarus, our brother, is dying. You need to get here. And you know, you're going to be there for your friends and family when you can. But there are times when you got to do what you got to do. And when you're God, you know it's all going to work out okay. But not all of us are God. But anyway, he said, some of us think we are, but we are not. I'm going to assure you. He gets there a few days late, and Lazarus has been laying in the tomb 3 or 4 days. And Mary didn't even come out. Mary was really ticked off, to be honest with you. She stayed in the house, but Martha came out and said, Lord, you know, what's the deal, is what she said. What's the deal? We told you he was dying, and you didn't come. He said, Martha, who do you think you're looking at? I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha says, well, I understand in the end days we will all be raised and we will all be healed. He said, no, Martha, I am the resurrection. Lazarus is going to come out today. And, of course, you know the story. He did. But here's what's important. Martha recognized who Jesus was. She recognized a lot of things he can do. But he said to her, the last line he said to her, Martha said to him, I know that you'll rise in the resurrection and the last day. And Jesus said to her, but I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then these are the words he said that Jesus says to each of us. But Martha, do you believe this? See, the Bible says the demons know who Jesus is. A lot of people know about him. But do you believe who he is? Do you believe he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came and gave his life for you on Calvary, who went into that tomb, and on the third day he rose from the dead, that offered us eternal life? It doesn't matter what you know. It matters what you believe in your heart, who Jesus is. And I think that's the question Jesus would ask us on this Resurrection Sunday, is that I am the resurrection and the life, but do you believe it? That's what's going to make all the difference in the world. Well, let me just conclude with a few thoughts. We've heard the story of Christ's resurrection. We celebrate Easter, the fact that he is raised from the dead. And now we ask ourselves, is this something that we can believe? Do we believe it? Do you know that it matters for eternity? You know, listening to a message on Easter morning may be helpful. It may guide you. But you've really got to get into the word that God gave us and read what he has to say about that eternal life, about that everlasting life. You've really got to understand who that resurrected Savior was. Yeah, you can ask a pastor, a priest, a friend. And you should do that as well. But get into God's word. Begin to understand. And pray. Talk to him. I love the Johnny Cash song that we sing. I talk to Jesus every day. No secretary ever tells me he's been called away. I talk to Jesus every day. We have access to the very throne of God, to talk to Christ, and to ask him those questions. If you doubt him, guess what? He's God. You're not going to shake him up. You're not going to scare him. You can ask him anything about anything. I know people who have cursed at him and gotten so upset till they fell to their knees and praised him. Whatever it takes, this is important. This is eternity stuff. This is not just a beautiful day outdoors at Forest Park where we sing. The Hallelujah Chorus is awesome. And if you knew the story about that, that's awesome too, but that's another sermon. But this is a day where you can say, this is a day that changed my life because I trusted in Christ. I didn't have all the answers. I didn't know everything I needed to know, but I knew in my spirit. The Bible says you know that you know that you know. The Spirit of God is the only one that can reveal to you who Jesus really is. And you can push him back all you want, but the Spirit's going to keep, they call it the hound of heaven. He'll keep hounding and hounding because he loves you so much. Jesus doesn't want you to follow him so that he can have the biggest group around. Jesus wants you to follow him for your sake, for eternal life. So I pray you would do that this morning. So let me remind you one last time, Christ is risen. He's risen in me. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you overcame death and you opened up the gates to everlasting life. And pray that you'd grant to us a joyous celebration of this day of your resurrection. May we also be raised from the death of our sin by your life-giving Spirit. And may we be able to say with conviction that we believe in you, that you truly are the resurrection and the life. Bless us this day and send us out to be a blessing to those around us. For we ask all these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.